This week, August 5th, 2014, on The Digital Story, night photography tips. The Sigma 50mm f1.4 art lens. Exporter for Aperture 1.0 in the Mac App Store. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So happy to be here with you. I'm a little bit later this week. It's still Tuesday when I'm publishing it, but a little bit later on Tuesday than I normally do. And that is because I have been on a whirlwind. I tell you. So I have been doing this big commercial shoot that I have alluded to. And just to give you an idea, on Friday, we were down in San Rafael, which if you drive just straight there with no traffic, it's only about 45 minutes to the shooting location from my studio. Obviously, on a Friday afternoon, it's not 45 minutes. So we were down there doing the shoot in the afternoon and finally got home, I don't know, about 9 o'clock, 9:30 that night, and had to do a quick sort and everything. And then headed down to Southern California because I'm meeting right now with the folks at Rocky Nook Publishing. They're a great, great team. They're connected to the folks at CT Digital Photography. So this is a really nice sort of connection. And I'm familiar with Rocky Nook Book Publishing from my days at O'Reilly because O'Reilly was doing distribution and marketing for them. And they wanted to talk to me about a few projects, which I hope to be sharing with you pretty soon. And they're based in Santa Barbara, which works out pretty well for me because my boss for CT Digital Photography Magazine is in the same office down there in Santa Barbara. Rocky Nook is in Santa Barbara. And then Linda, Linda.com is in Carpinteria, which is really just a stone's throw from Santa Barbara. Nice little cluster of stuff there. And what a great place, right? What a terrific place to be working. So I was down there meeting with them, trying to get a few things lined up. And then I headed back on Monday afternoon. We had our last meeting. Our last meeting finished up at 2 o'clock. Drove back from Santa Barbara up to Santa Rosa. Got home, about 9 o'clock. Had to get a few things ready for my client on the big photo shoot. They wanted to see some proofs and stuff. Fell asleep and then got up early in the morning and started working away and doing this podcast. Now, normally I do the podcast on Monday afternoon. Today I'm doing it on Tuesday morning and we'll publish it as soon as I'm finished. That also explains, by the way, why we don't have a photo assignment published yet. It is so high on my list, I can't even describe the priority that it has. And I will be able to get to it, I think, tomorrow, Wednesday, and get that up. So I apologize for the lateness of that, but you just got to do what you got to do when it comes to making a living. All right, so that sort of brings you up to speed on where we are right now. So let's take a look at the weekly update and get to some of today's stories. So Ricoh expands the Q series with a new Pentax QS1, $499. Now, I definitely like the looks of this new Pentax Q, which is their entry into the mirrorless market. And the Pentax Q has been around for a bit. And this QS1, I think, is probably one of the nicer looking bodies. So I like it a lot. But the thing about it is they did improve the physical appearance. They added some new colors, but not much has changed on the inside. The sensor is still a smallish 12 megapixel, 1 over 1.7 inch CMOS sensor. And there doesn't appear to be any new electronics associated with that sensor. So basically what we're looking at for the Pentax QS1 is a body refresh as opposed to a feature addition. In other news, Adobe ships Lightroom 5.6, Camera Raw 8.6. So this update, this latest update, it takes care of the usual things that we would expect. New camera support, in this case for the Nikon D810, the Panasonic GH4, Panasonic FZ1000. So there's support for those new cameras. And when we talk about support, obviously we're talking about RAW files, right? It would already support JPEGs from practically any camera on the planet. And the update also includes lens profiles for 21 new optics on 7 mounts. So that's nice. But the thing that I was waiting for on the Lightroom version, Lightroom 5.6, is that when I was working on my article for lynda.com about doing my field test of Lightroom Mobile in Maui, and if you haven't seen that article, it is on the article center for lynda.com, and I also pointed to it from the Digital Story. I think I did that point on Sunday, where I wanted to see if I could go to Maui with just my iPad mini, my Olympus OMD, and an underwater camera, have a great time, and do my processing and posting from the island. It went okay. And, you know, this is what I talked about in the article. It went okay. What I found out after I talked with the folks at Adobe, because it wasn't a glowing review, so I wanted them to see it and be able to comment on it before I published it. You know, what they said was, well, our thought about Lightroom Mobile really is for taking pictures with you when you travel, you know, sharing images from your master Lightroom library, and not so much using it in the field. So in other words, taking pictures in Maui, putting them into Lightroom Mobile on my iPad, editing them, adding metadata, and then pushing them up to the Digital Story, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. They said, well, that wasn't really our vision because of the processing power of the iPad, and we start getting those big raw files in there, and you know, it's just not a good fit. And I was saying, well, you don't always have to work with raw files on an iPad. And for instance, in my case, I don't. I shoot RAW plus JPEG when I'm doing the mobile workflow. I only send those high-quality JPEGs to the iPad. And by the way, those JPEGs look darn good. I mean, I don't understand this fixation with RAW for every photographic application. But that's another talk. Those JPEGs look great. But the problem I was having is that I couldn't add any metadata at all in Lightroom Mobile. It doesn't allow for that. It doesn't allow me to add a caption. It doesn't allow me to add a headline. I can't do keywords. You know, my copyright and my creator name could not add. So unless the camera was adding it, I couldn't do anything. And I had a bit of a problem with that. The other problem that I had, and this is where we're getting back to Lightroom 5.6, was that I did all this star rating of my images while I was in Maui. You know, my usual two-pass system, I did 2 stars for the ones that I thought were decent, went back through the 2 stars only, and upgraded the shots that I really liked to 3 stars, and those are the ones that I image edited, and those are the ones that I wanted to publish from the field. Well, I did all that work on star rating, and by the way, my Lightroom Mobile catalog was looking pretty good, you know, because you can filter just like you can in regular Lightroom. So you could only look at just the 3 stars. So people think you're a really good photographer and you never take a bad shot, right? Then when I got home and I opened up my laptop with Lightroom 5.5 on it, and it was syncing with Creative Cloud, because that's the way Lightroom Mobile works. Your iPad syncs with Creative Cloud, everything that you do in the field, your image edits, everything. And then when you open up your library on your computer, then that syncs with Creative Cloud. And that's the way those changes from the field end up integrating into your master Lightroom library. When I did that, all the star ratings were gone. So in other words, all that star rating I had done in Maui, boom, did not show up in my master catalog. And then what was even worse, that was bad enough, right? I was really annoyed by that. But then what was even worse was that then Lightroom, my master Lightroom on my desktop, wiped out all the star ratings on my iPad. So all that, even so, then I lost them on my iPad too. So suddenly all that work I had done in Maui, boom, gone. Nothing was star rated anymore. It even took away, you know, where you can set the key photo for the collection. You know, so you want a pretty shot there, right? So that when you're looking at the thumbs for your collections, you're looking at something that's enticing. It even reset that back to the default, which is, I think, the first image. So I was going, okay, what the heck? And I didn't want to unload on them, Adobe, in the article. So, you know, we were talking about that. And it was a bug. What I had done is discovered, I think not one, but I think two bugs. And they were able to reproduce the bug. And then they started working on it. So then what we did was we held the article for lynda.com, gave Adobe a little bit time to get 5.6 out the door. And when I was looking in the notes for 5.6, it did mention those bugs that I had found and that they had corrected them. So now everything should work just hunky-dory. So if you're doing star rating in the field, for images that you upload from the field, not only will those star ratings stay with your images, even when Lightroom Mobile syncs with Creative Cloud, it should also be transferred to your desktop, and your desktop won't wipe them out on your iPad. So we found all sorts of goodies when I was working on that article and then working with Adobe. And as a result, 5.6 cleaned up some of that. Bottom line on this Lightroom 5.6, definitely, it's definitely one that you want to make sure that you're current on. And in terms of Lightroom Mobile, you might want to take a look at my article, my field trip from Maui. Got some pretty pictures in there too. At this point right now, my bottom line on Lightroom Mobile is that it's great for taking stuff with you from home. Not there yet if you want to work in the field. And finally, this is kind of cool. Martin Scorsese, he writes a passionate letter to Kodak in defense of film. Now, I don't know if you've been following this story, but basically Kodak was ready to discontinue their production of movie film, professional quality movie film, the kind that is used in the theaters by Scorsese and Tarantino and all those people who love shooting and making movies with film. And these Hollywood stars, and I mean stars in terms of directors, rallied, and it looks like that Kodak is going to keep producing the film that they like to use for making their movies. So that was cool. But then there was a second wave that we didn't know about, where Scorsese had written this passionate letter that he sent directly to Kodak, and it's published on Petapixel. So you can read the letter and the quotes and everything. And it's really neat. It's really, and the thing about it is, even though the story is about movie film, it what Scorsese says applies to still film also, the film that we would put in our cameras, our 35mm cameras. So it's definitely worth a read. So Petapixel is the source of that story. Martin Scorsese writes a passionate letter to Kodak, and I have a link in the show notes. And then the Adobe Lightroom and Camera Raw story. Imaging Resource did a great job of articulating all the improvements in both Camera Raw and Lightroom, and that link is in the show notes from imagingresource.com. And then the source that I used for the Ricoh story, updating the Pentax QS1, that was from DP Review, and that link is in the show notes. So there's a trend here, right? If you want to read more about what I'm talking about, go to the show notes. Okay, so, and that is this week's weekly update. All right, let's get into Exporter for Aperture 1.0. That's in the Mac App Store. So he had to change the name. I first started writing about this. In fact, I was the guy that broke the story on Aperture Exporter. And that was kind of neat. And then I saw it picked up everywhere. Sometimes with credit, sometimes not. But, you know, that's the way it goes on the web, right? And then that was the beta phase when I broke the story. He got a lot of great feedback. And then now he released a 1.0 in the Mac App Store, and you can buy a standalone version from his site. I have the link, obviously, in the show notes. Now, in the Mac App Store and on his site, he's selling Exporter for Aperture 1.0 for $14.99. I'm telling you right now, if you're thinking about that move, if you're thinking about hopping out of Aperture because you're uneasy about the future and moving into Lightroom, then you definitely need to look at this application, because he's already at 1.1, I believe. He's done a 1.1 update. I was checking this morning. He has done a great job. This application really helps you get the content out of your Aperture library in a form that's very easy for Lightroom to consume. And, you know, you'll still have some housekeeping in Lightroom after you do this export-import. But I'll tell you, I have tried doing it without Exporter for Aperture, because I was looking for a way to share with people, okay, if you really need to make the move, here's what I consider the best practices. And I've written a couple articles about that. None of them come close to what this application does. So it is a fantastic little app for $15. If you're thinking about making the change, take a look at Exporter for Aperture. And, you know, I like getting apps from the Mac App Store, by the way, instead of downloading them from the developer site. The reason being is that once they're in the App Store, the updates and everything are handled automatically for you. And I just think that's a very nice convenience, so that you're always up to date on your applications. So you can get it there. And then we'll talk more about, I mean, right now I'm just sort of letting the dust settle on this whole, should I hang in there with Aperture through Yosemite and see how Photos goes? Should I jump to Lightroom? What should I do? And as you know, if you've been listening to me, my position is you don't have to do anything right now. I mean, just the fact that Aperture is going to work fine in Yosemite and that there will still be raw updating going on, there's, you know, you don't have to do anything right now. You can wait and see how this shakes out. However, if you were thinking about moving to Lightroom anyway, because, you know, Lightroom has had a more active development over the last 2 years than Aperture, and they continue to, for the most part, improve it, then, you know, this statement that Apple has made that they're going to stop developing Aperture, then that's what brought about Exporter for Aperture. And so now you have a tool to make the move. So that was, you know, that was kind of the nice thing about Apple just saying, hey, here's what we're going to do, and here's why we're going to do it. Even though we don't have a lot of details on what Photos in Yosemite is going to look like, which will be the replacement for both Aperture and iPhoto, but at least we know where they stand. And a lot of times, you know, they don't do that. So we appreciate the warning, because once we know where we stand, then we can start getting these utilities to help us if we want to make a change. So Exporter for Aperture 1.0 in the Mac App Store is, if you're going to make that move, I'm telling you, it's the best $15 you'll probably spend that week. All right, moving on to story number 3, the Sigma 50mm f1.4 art lens is a delight. Now, it is the largest, heaviest 50mm lens I have ever shot with. It is a hunk, and it is about as long as my Canon 24-105 zoom lens. That just gives you an idea. And it's just as heavy, if not heavier than that lens. So, I mean, this is not a small piece of glass at all, but it is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. So let me give you a little rundown, because I have been testing it both on the 5D Mark II and the Canon 70D. Now, it's a $949 lens, the Sigma 50mm f1.4 art lens, a $949 lens. It is worth that. I'll just tell you that right now. And the reason why I say that is the quality of the image and the speed of the lens and the quality of the build is it warrants its price tag. On the 5D Mark II, I shot at f1.4, f2, f2.8, and f4. Here's the thing. If you have a lens that fast, you're going to shoot at wider apertures. I mean, that's why you got it, right? That's why you paid for it. And the thing that I noticed about, and I wrote an article for CT, Digital Photography Magazine, about this, is that the bokeh, the background, and the softness of the background, and what it did with the lights in the background, was surprisingly smooth and creamy for a 50 millimeter lens. I was very impressed. So I was comparing it to the side-by-side that I did, Canon 70-210 f2.8, one of my go-to lenses, at 70 millimeters. So I was shooting at 70 with the Canon lens and 50 with the Sigma. And, you know, same subject, you know, in the same position, and then comparing the shots. And I was surprised at how well it did with the background. Now, here's what got really interesting. In terms of color saturation and mid-tone contrast and sharpness, the 50 was better. And that was really nice. You know, the point of the article was the one that I did for CT is, can you use this lens for portraits? Because you're not usually thinking of using a 50 millimeter lens for portrait photography, especially on a full frame sensor. And the answer is yes. It was great for portraits. I loved the way those images looked. So that was cool. And then I've gotten some questions about, well, okay, that's great. How does it work on the Canon 70D? Because the 70D has, you know, it has that different sensor, and it has basically what we're thinking is a forerunner sensor for the 7D Mark II, which we should see here in another month or so. How does it work on that camera? And I was pleasantly surprised. It works great on that camera, and the images look very good with the 70D. Now, of course, the big question was, how does it focus, right? Because even Canon had some compatibility, not issues, but they just said, all right, here's a list of the lenses that work with the 70D. Here's a few of our lenses that don't. So not even every Canon lens is compatible with that sensor on the 70D. Well, the Sigma 50mm f1.4 in the Canon mount, the art lens, works on the 70D. And the way that I was using it, I was using the center focuser. The center focuser. You know, it's funny, just as an aside, this podcast has been listed on a couple, you know, these are photography podcasts that you might want to listen to. And whenever anyone writes about the Digital Story, any of these reviewers that compile this list, they always say Digital Story is a technically based podcast. You know, Derek is a nice enough guy to where, you know, it's fun to listen to. And I never thought of this podcast as a technical podcast. In all honesty, I use photography language, and that's part of the reason why I think this podcast is valuable to a lot of people. I've had many, many, many people tell me, I like knowing how photographers speak. I like learning the language of photography, and your podcast helps me do that. That somehow is being translated into a technical podcast. And I think that's kind of funny, because I don't really think it was technical, especially when I use terms like that. But for the AF sensor, let's say I use the center AF sensor. That's probably a little bit more in line for a technical podcast. It worked very well. If you shoot a lot where you're letting the 70D choose the AF point for the focusing, then you might not be as thrilled with this lens as I was selecting a single AF point and going from there. When you do the single AF point, though, it's spot on. It works very well. And I tested it both through the optical viewfinder and then focusing on the LCD. So I used it in both modes. And the way that I used the camera, it worked very well in both modes. So your mileage may vary, but at least you get a preliminary report on this. The images are sharp on both bodies. The detail is excellent. The contrast is very good. I like the contrast of the Sigma lens, and that's one of the very addicting things about it. The images just have a nice pop to them. Overall, just a terrific lens. The downside to it, at least the downside for me, is that it's heavy. It's a big, heavy lens. It's impressive. It looks good on the camera. It feels a little better to me on the 5D Mark II because of the weight, but it does look good. This 50mm f1.4 art lens, it is a terrific lens, and I have a link, of course, in the show notes. All right, let's hop over to the screening room. I want to talk about Sean Duggan's Enhancing Night and Low Light Photos. This is a brand new title from lynda.com. And Sean uses Photoshop, Adobe Camera Raw, and Lightroom to work on these night images. This is a cool title. It's brand new. And so he does some preliminary work in Adobe Camera Raw. Then he either moves into Photoshop or Lightroom and shows you additional techniques. Things like removing noise, things like bringing up shadow detail, color correction, all that kind of stuff he covers. But where I think it really gets neat is he does a lot of star photography, and he has a lot of tips for shooting the Milky Way, for shooting star trails, all that kind of stuff that I didn't know. I honestly did not know these tips that he was showing. And, you know, he shows you how to eliminate star trails when you don't want them. You know, if you have a longish exposure and you get that little movement in the star so they're not pinpoint. And then he shows you great ways to add star trails if you want them, you know, where you really get big star trails. It's really terrific. So if you're someone that enjoys night photography, and you want to get the most out of those images in post-production, and you use Camera Raw or Photoshop or Lightroom, I think you'll really enjoy Sean Duggan's Enhancing Night and Low Light Photos. Terrific title. You can see Sean in action by visiting the Digital Story Screening Room, which is at lynda.com/thedigitalstory. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch all the movies that you want, including the rest of Sean's title, if you're getting excited about that. All right, just a few quick notes here. I'm running a bit long. The free photo workshop, more ideas came in this week. I'm very excited about the help that you guys are providing me for coming up with interesting topics for our 2015 The Digital Story Workshop season. I'm going to let it run one last week, and then next week I'm going to announce what I've decided to do. So you have one more week. If you want to send me your idea, what you think your favorite workshop by me would be in 2015, you know, what theme would you love for me to teach? Then all you have to do is send your idea to Derek@thedigitalstory.com with the subject line, My Favorite Workshop Topic. I will add it to these other great ideas. And then my goal is to pick one of them and make it a workshop in 2015. And if I do, the person that submitted that idea will get free tuition to that workshop. So one more week, and then we're going to wrap that up. Want to mention the good friends at Red River Paper, who have 50% discount on UPS ground shipping. And that's on top of the fantastic prices that you get for their quality paper that comes in a variety of surfaces. So if you have an inkjet printer and you're not making prints, and maybe you're not making prints because you haven't found the right paper to make them on, go over to our good friends at Red River Paper, look at all the different surfaces, look at all the different helpful tips that they have on their site, and then buy some paper and make some prints. Now, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, and they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. We have a new photo assignment. The photo assignment for August is My Favorite Close-Up. My Favorite Close-Up. That is the assignment for August. And I will get the next gallery up ASAP. I want to get the podcast up first. One of those participants will be selected as the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month, and they will get a free Sizzle Picks, sponsored by Sizzle Picks at sizzlepicks.com, sizzlpix.com. It's like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And they also have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Click on it and go check them out. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Next week, I hope to be back on track. Thanks for your patience. I'm working on some wonderful topics. Come back and join me, and we'll explore the world of photography, of technical photography, together. Okay, bye-bye now.